My scalp is burning.
Engage fluo injectors.
Engaging fluo injectors.
Fluo reactors at 8%, sir.
Fluo containment field is destabilizing.
Emergency fluo containment protocols now. All hands brace for impact.
Brace for impact in 3, 2, 1.
Holy balls, we're back with another episode of World 1-1 Podcast. We're here to ask the all-important question, what else can we fuck up today? So, quick tease for the third half. Exactly. Exactly. We already started talking about the five people that are locked in a room in the basement at Fox News looking for where we're not getting. Anyways, you're on the internet. You cannot figure it out. Fuck it. Anyways. Quick tease for the third half of the show. Riker and I are talking about horror games. Dead and Dying? Is there still room for big AAA horror in the industry? So make sure you stick around for that after the break. Also, you should absolutely subscribe to the show. We have everything fixed now, by the way, from the transition from Google Podcasts to YouTube Music. You can now search and find our show on YouTube Music. So go do that, which also means too, because it's fixed, the share function is enabled. So subscribe and share.
Yep. Support. Subscribe, like, and share.
Uh-huh. There is a link to our Discord down in the show notes. Click it and jump in. We want to talk with people. It's awesome. So do that. Shout out to our awesome sponsor real quick. Imaginary Authors, helping you up your scent game with fragrances for guys, gals, and non-binary pals. More about them just before the break. All that out of the way.
Choose your fighter.
I am, as always, your host, Ronald the Wall. Joining me this week is my compatriot, Josh the LeGrew.
Yo.
All right. So let's dive in with...
Video games.
LeGrew, what the fuck have you been playing? Because I feel like I haven't seen your face in a hot minute.
I know. I've been playing a lot of a lot, I should say. So,
last time it was a lot of a little, and you were bouncing all over the place. If we're a lot of a little, you've picked a couple and you've stuck to them.
Yes, I have. But I actually switched the games up. So
okay.
To this week, I have really started to get into the Dead Space remake.
Okay.
From 2 years ago now?
Has it been 2 years?
I think so.
I swear it's only like a year. It can't be more than a year and a half. I swear it was last year, wasn't it?
I don't know, but anyway.
Have I lost my mind?
Probably.
Keep going. I'm Googling it.
Probably. I think you probably lost your mind, but I think it's 2022, if I want to say.
Like I said, keep going. I'm Googling.
Yeah. So I've started that on my PS5. I have it on my Xbox One as well. So I've been kind of jumping between them. Really good game. I want to say... I really do want to say, I know that Rawl and I have some difference in opinions on this, but I do think it's a good remake.
It is. I don't disagree that it's a good remake.
Yeah. And so that's where I've kind of like, okay, it's a good remake. As long as I thought about that, I'm like, okay, it's good. So... I don't have much more than that. I mean, that's where I've been spending a lot of my time.
All right. How far in have you gotten? I'm curious.
About 3.5 to 4 hours.
Okay.
So this is actually my second playthrough.
Two or three chapters?
By the This is my second playthrough, by the way. So I've
I know you've played. I know you've gone through it once because that's what started this whole argument in the first
place. Right. I'm now playing it on my Xbox One. So I started on my PS5, played it. Now this is my redo of this. Mm-hmm. So I like it.
No, I'm not saying it's bad.
No, I never said you said it was bad.
Yeah, I do still think it wasn't necessary. And I will say I am to the point, because you've missed some of these conversations, actually.
Yes.
But I will say I am to the point where I'm not teetering on the fence yet as far as changing my opinion on the subject of whether or not it does horror better than the OG. But I am creeping closer to the fence. It's moved the needle a little, but not significantly. That said, I'm not saying it's bad. I've never said it's bad.
No.
And it does do a few things that fixes a couple of minor nitpicks that I had with the original. The controls is one of them, actually, because one of my original nitpicks, and it's not something that I couldn't deal with. You know, given an hour or so, it was just a case of grinding it in repetition. But the whole thing that the stomp was on the right bumper and to, you know, take a swing was on the right trigger fucked with me.
Right.
My brain says this is your body parts in the wrong order.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, it felt backwards. Here's my new problem, though. I like the fact that the remake fixed that and put, you know, fist swing on the bumper and stomp on the trigger.
Okay.
The problem is I know the old one well enough that it's going to take more than that hour to fucking just deal with it, because it's not just going, okay, it is this way. It's going, unlearn the thing that you learned. And now relearn it the right way. That part fucking gets me. Like, son of a bitch.
I get that. I get it. But I just want to say that I think if you've never played it, even if you have played it and you just kind of like surrender to it, I think it's a good remake. It does fix a lot of the things that we as gamers would say are old in it. Mm-hmm. Kind of the tank controls, kind of a lot of the stuff. But it does kind of like, you're right, it does kind of have a couple other new problems.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it detracts from the game. And so I would say it's still far superior to the original. And it allows us to play it on modern hardware. And that's what we want to do.
For the record, neither this or the original had actual tank controls.
No, but it did feel like it, I think.
It felt tank-ish. It felt slower and sluggish.
And part of that was by design.
And it should be.
Yeah. Because what it did is it tried to get you to, like, when you were, like, aiming at the necromorphs and stuff, it tried to get you to do it this way so that it would be suspenseful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big proponent of tank or tank-ish or tanky controls in horror games. It just works better. It fits the vibe right.
Right.
Like, that shit never bothered me. It just didn't. Christ, I played old action shooters on the PS1 that had actual tank controls, and I was just fine with it.
Right.
Yeah, go back and play fucking Time Commando.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Fun fact, if you had a copy of that, that was one of the ones that you could, like, pop in a regular CD player, and it had the music in actual audio track formats that you could listen
to. Pretty sure we got it somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And Symphony of the Night, same thing. They had that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, But yeah, it's no, it's a good remake. You did just pop a question into my head, though. And I'm only going to ask the question because I think we're going to stash this for a future episode.
Okay.
So here's a tease. But on the subject of it's a good remake, when grading and reviewing a remake, do you grade it against how far it came from the original or strictly on its own merits, disregarding the original?
I'll just say this as the tease, I do both.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a middle ground, but I definitely think there's a substantive conversation
that
should be had there. I like this one. See, this is how this is how we end up with fucking show topics. We record shows, and then it happens, and then we have to make more shows, and it's a never-ending vicious cycle that will probably just continue to perpetuate until we're dead.
Yeah, which might be soon, might not be. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, it depends on whether or not they let those five kids out of the basement room at Fox News.
Right. They might not.
Uh-huh. So, I've been playing a little of a little.
Okay.
But I did manage to unlock an achievement in one of those games that I was very, very fucking excited about.
Okay. So,
first, more super hot mind control delete. This game has gripped my functional free time. So if I get home and I've got enough, you know, giddy up to sit down and play a game for a little bit, it's been super hot mind control delete. It's just got that. Yeah, no, do it again. Do it again. Now do another.
Right.
And another. And, yep. And I'm like, everything about it is so wonderfully just the right lizard brain scratch itch.
Right.
To keep playing. It's a fucking Pringle, you know, once you pop. And I'm making progress, not as quickly as I'd like, but part of that is probably just due to time constraints. This whole last week has been an absolute fucking dumpster fire in my life, but that's a whole different story. Anyways, I really, 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 really wish that there was more music. Like, I did not care that there was no fucking music in any in the first two Super Hots, but that one song that pops up on the disco stages is fucking awesome. I'm like, I need more of that because it just takes the awesome badassery feel and amps it up. And the other thing I'm just realizing in this moment is that music makes me play dumber.
Sure.
And it's a fucking sneaky thing too, but it's brilliantly done because the music slows down and muffles out when you're not moving and time is running at slow speed. But the moment you move and time is moving at normal speed because you're moving, then the music picks up to full tempo, full volume, and full clarity, and it makes you want to keep moving instead of stopping and thinking like you fucking should.
Sure.
I'm like, Jesus, that's a devious little fucking ah dicks. But that track is fucking hella good, and I wish there was a whole lot more of it. Beyond that, more fucking Balatro, because apparently I go to bed every night, and that has absolutely become my bedtime game.
Okay.
Here's the big fucking achievement. Not only did I get Zoe to play it, Zoe's fucking into it.
Yeah, I saw that on the text string.
Yeah. So, one, found out Zoe never learned poker.
Really?
Yeah, see, I had the same fucking response because to me, poker is like a ubiquitous universal thing.
I get it, though, because a lot of younger people didn't. And I have actually had this conversation with coworkers of mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found out Zoe didn't. I've now run into a couple of coworkers that never learned. Found out other partner Bonnie never fucking learned poker, doesn't know how to play.
Right.
I'm like, how is the... Wait, really?
Yeah.
I was just flummoxed. I'm not judging. I'm just puzzled. Like, I would get it if we were talking about fucking euchre, especially if it was like you and me talking about euchre. Because euchre is a... Here's a weird fact for you, because I know this and more people should know this, and it's fucking interesting to me. I grew up playing euchre.
Yeah.
My whole family played euchre. More specifically, my whole mom's side of the family played euchre. Mom was one of seven, so it was a big fucking family. So holiday gatherings, there were like two or three tables set up, and everybody was heads down playing fucking euchre. And they weren't just playing euchre. In my family, euchre is played as a blood sport. Like, you do not fuck with people in euchre and you just don't. What I found out later in life, though, is while I sat there and thought of euchre as this ubiquitous thing that just everybody fucking knows how to play because it's just a fucking card game, euchre is a uniquely Midwest card game. Like, it barely exists out of the United States Midwest.
Right.
It is the weirdest thing.
Yeah, it's a game that I grew up playing, and I know lots of friends grew up playing.
Yeah, because you grew up Midwest, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but moving down to Florida, like, gun to your head, you can't find anybody that knows how to fucking play it.
Well,
let alone enough people to play it.
Yeah, the Minnesota Club plays it, and that's where...
There you go. You have a small little club of people that meet that manage to escape.
It's not even that small anymore. It's large, but they're much older than me.
But yeah, it's a whole fucking Midwest thing. Anyways, back to Bellatro. So I had to start with explaining at least some of the basics of poker to Zoe. And I did, and they got it. The other thing was, I'm like, I don't have to explain all of poker to Zoe. Because Bellatro cuts out half of poker, which is the entire gambling and betting against and trying to, you know, bluff your way against other opponents, because that's fucking gone here. Instead, they've turned it into a scored game. And so it uses poker as a basis, but it yanks out half the game and replaces it with something else. Like, it replaces it with the part of poker that isn't just the unwritten rules of.
Right.
Which, again, just makes that interesting to me. This kind of almost goes back to the whole speedrunning conversation we had about the idea of, you know, taking an established game and just taking those pieces and inventing a new set of rules to play with.
Right.
Because I think I even brought up the specific analogy of, consider a deck of cards and all the different games you can play with that same deck of 52.
Sure.
Anyways, so I explained the baseline of poker to Zoe, at least as much as they know to play Bellatro.
Right.
Start up a new game so that they can go through the tutorial. They start playing it. We're kind of playing together, because it's also a way for, you know, it's something that the two of us can go together, and it can be a case of we're both scanning to try and figure out what our best hand is here.
Correct.
You know, it'll be like, hey, there's two. No. Put the two pair down. There's a flush in there you missed, which has been wonderful fun. And the night we started that, I had to get up like an hour in and run across the street and pick up the munchkin for my folks. I come back home. Zoe is still sitting there. Like, I wanted to see how much I could do on my own, like how much of this I know without you helping. And just keeps going. I'm like, go for it. Have a ball. The other night, I'm playing like two hands of Bellatro. and I put the controller down on my nightstand where I usually set it. And Zoe's like, hey, can you hand me that controller so I can play while you make dinner?
Yeah.
Like, ha-ha, you're into it. It's got you now, damn it. So it's been fun. It's... I have this thing for very much... God, here's a whole therapy topic. But anyways, I have this thing for trying to find a way to cooperatively play a game that is a single player game.
Right.
Yeah, that's a whole we can go down the tell me about your childhood rabbit hole. Because it doesn't even take that much effort. I can fucking root it all the way back. I'm like, I know how this happened.
Right.
I do. I will be that fucking, you know, it was aliens guy and the cigarette and the fucking cork board and the string and the pins and the newspaper. Like, it's here. Anyways, but that made me wonderfully, I'm like, yay, I can share this with you. And we're having fun. So, and Zoe actually like started their own, you know, profile run. So that way they can keep track of like just their progress without jumping in and cutting out any game I might have in progress as well, which is really nice. But that's most of what I've been playing. The only other thing I can't even like reasonably claim that I've played it. However, I did get home from work the other day and download the Rewinder, which just dropped on Game Pass because it just came out.
Okay.
Like 2 days ago, I think. Maybe three. Anyways, yes, if you're wondering, we're recording this way later than we normally do. But downloaded it because I saw something about it, and I swear my brain picked out like seven words out of this article and just went, yeah, go home and download that and play that because that's going to be for us. But the big thing is that it's based around time manipulation.
Yeah.
But you are like the last of a line of people that have the ability to rewind time to try and correct wrongs in the universe. I'm like, ooh, mix that in with some Chinese mythology and you've got my interest. Here's the thing. I didn't even look to see what kind of fucking genre of game this was. I saw that shit and I'm like, that's enough. Not even looked at a screenshot or nothing. I'm like, just go home, download this, and look at it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And I did like get to open it up and half read the intro. But very retro PC point and click style pixel art look to it. The little tiny sliver that I've gotten to see, visually impressed. I like it. It's well done. I'm looking forward to getting to play more, hopefully in the next few days before we record again. It's got my attention. And I think I'm in for a point and click-ish adventure here. But here's the weird thing. Go on Xbox's shop, like the game card for that game. There's no trailer on there for it. Like, why? How is there not how could you not take the trailer you fucking put on YouTube and stick it here?
Well,
why is there not a trailer here? It flummoxed me. I know it's a weird, stupid thing, but I'm like, that should be there. Why?
Yeah.
So, it's right up there with that whole every game should have a goddamn demo thing. I'm sorry, I do firmly believe that.
No, I hear you. I agree with that too.
But that's where I'm at. So let's take a quick second here and tell you about our awesome sponsor, Imaginary Authors, because they are helping you up your scent game with fragrances for guys, gals, and non-binary pals, including finally getting a restock on the sold out sample sizes
of
Language of a Glacier, which is one of their newest ones. And I was actually a little miffed because, honestly, Languages of a Glacier dropped, and I saw it, and I'm like, ooh, what a... The fucking samples were sold out before I could get to it. I have been waiting for the fucking restock on the samples so I can check this out, because this shit absolutely has my attention. When notes of fresh snowfall is in the description, I want to know. Yeah. I imagine, like, cold, icy, crisp, clean. I'm like, almost wintergreen without the mint is what I'm thinking. And I really want to know, and I'm going to find out, because I got an order going in and I just got to wait for it to get here.
Nice.
So go check them out. Go get your Languages of a Glacier sample. Check that out too, along with, you know, some other great ones like Whiff of Waffle Cone, Memoirs of a Trespasser, City on Fire, and way, way more. Link in the show notes down below. Click that link. Go get some good smell good stuff. Helps us, helps you, helps them. They're good peoples too. I've had the pleasure of getting to, like, chat with their peoples, and they are wonderful. Super fucking cool folks. Anyways, so let's cut it here so that we can get back to talking about more horror games, ironically, right after the break. And we're back with the third half of the show. This week we're taking a dive down the warp pipe.
Oh wow, love these pipes.
And we're looking at, is there really still room for big budget horror and gaming? Joining me for our traipse through dark, spooky corridors and unexpected jump scares is Riker.
Hi.
And just recently, as of recording, we saw news that the Dead Space remake not doing so hot in the long run here. It's not getting the tail of number of players that you see with a lot of other things. But maybe that's not as out of the normal as we think. Maybe it is, but we're gonna fucking find out. So let's dive in. I'm gonna start with, because I told you I had thoughts here, I'm gonna preface this, but Riker, you brought stats, or you said you were bringing stats.
I have some stats.
But here's where I'm at. Because this all came about particularly because of the news on the Dead Space remake and the fact that there was a rumor at one point that there was a sequel in the works that was getting nixed, and then EA said, yeah, no, we didn't have the sequel remake in the works. That's just you guys doing whatever the fuck you do on the internet, which honestly sounds about right for the fucking internet. And here's kind of where I'm at. I don't think I am all that surprised by seeing the concurrent player numbers for the Dead Space remake where they're at currently. One, my first issue with the concurrent player numbers is that it's always only ever based off of Steam. So that makes the assumption that if the player base isn't on, that it's not there. That's my first issue with this. But that's a larger, non-specific issue, and maybe that's a whole different fucking conversation that we should have at some point. Two, single player story campaign drops at Halloween time. Come mid to late spring, it's tailed off. That's not really all that surprising if you think about it. You know, you've got a nice crunchy 8 to 10 hour game that is really kind of seasonal. Like, honestly, I really only ever kind of think about picking up and playing anything Dead Space around the Halloween season anyways. And so to see that numbers drop off doesn't shock me, especially, and I'm not knocking it, this part does not hurt me, but there is no multiplayer to it. There's a story campaign. You play through the story campaign, and then and you're done. And it's not one of those games that really compels, at least me anyways, to go back and immediately restart it and replay it after. It's one of those that I visit occasionally, seasonally. Like I said, around Halloween time, it pops in my head and I go, oh, fuck, I'm going to play some spooky Dead Space shit because it's fucking spooky season. And so I think that there is an issue of conflating causation and correlation here. But that's me, especially if this whole argument is being based around just this. However, I do make room for the fact that there is some other things potentially at play here. Looking at the fact that Resident Evil in the last few installments keeps getting further and further away from the horror side of things, or the survival horror side of things, or both, if you want to call it that way, which is perfectly fine, and leaning more towards action, which is working for it, and that's fine, and that's great. It works for it. They've found a formula, and they're in. Cool. That said, every time they crank out a new fucking RE4 remake on something, it always does gangbusters anyways. So I do think that there is still room for big budget AAA horror in the gaming space, but I do think that the best horror is being done in indie. Lo-fi, low budget, focused, where it's more kind of the analog horror feel, fuzzy, low res, obscure technology, technology limited becomes a feature and not a bug. So I yield the floor. What you got?
So I as you know, I play a decent amount of horror games, but just like you were saying, the kind of low budget indie horror is what tends to keep me occupied and entertained. But I will say that my opinion is that for the horror genre as a whole to continue to be successful, the mechanics need reworked. And in recent years, look at Dead by Daylight. It came out in 2016, and it's still going strong in comparison to Dead Space. And I promised you stats, and I have stats, but of course these are Steam-based, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. So, Dead Space as a whole...
Didn't think about that whole little detail beforehand, did you?
No, I did, but I mean, there's a lot of PC gamers, and a lot of games do, you know, debut on PC before they make it over to console, so I didn't think anything of it.
Well, if a game doesn't
do well, it does well on PC.
Not necessarily, because like I said, again, I think it's all about where the audience is. And I will say, at least for me, if I'm playing a horror, I don't want to play hunched over on, you know, at my computer desk either, over a keyboard in a lit room where I need to be able to fucking see my keyboard to know what the hell I'm doing kind of thing. I would rather have it up on a fucking big screen with surround sound and all the lights out, and that's that. But maybe that's me and I'm fucking weird. I'm also the weirdo that hasn't really jumped on the headphones for everything gaming. I like the room-filling ambiance sound, too, and that's another thing with horror, especially, God, with Dead Space. You know, I remember playing the original on 360 with a Dolby 5.1 surround system because the audio in Dead Space was a huge selling point that was winning fucking awards. So,
yeah, I
think where your audience is matters.
I have been known to hook up my computer to the TV. I'm that person. I also, up until my last move, I also had a wireless keyboard that I would use, so being hunched over a computer wasn't necessarily something that really bothered me, because at the point you have a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse, you can sit and play pretty much anywhere.
You still need the surface for it, at which point you're leaned over something rather than me being able to, like, lay back comfortably on the couch with a controller.
I mean, I guess. I have a coffee table that lifts up and comes to me. So I'm actually pretty comfy. But again, that might just be me. It's where I record,
I could just be splitting hairs too, so I freely admit that. I'm usually in the minority here.
Yeah, because I mean, this is also where I play console, so I mean, I will sit with the controller here and have my computer away, and I will play console from right here as well. Same.
Yeah.
Pretty comfy.
Yeah.
But, circling the mechanics, okay? So, Dead Space in the remake, okay, 2023 started off strong, released in February, or at least that's when my stats start. Started off with 5,700 players, give or take, right? It dropped down, surprisingly, in October is when it really dropped. You're sitting at 417 play-ish on average. And then in the last 30 days, it actually went back up to 600. Mm-hmm. Now, these stats, every game I looked at, they were pretty much the same, except for the game Dead by Daylight. So I sat there and I asked myself, what is different about Dead by Daylight than these other games? And it boils down to the mechanics. The mechanics and the characters. I went through a stint where I played nothing but Dead by Daylight. I had a hardcore group of friends that, you know, we had our own team. And we did fairly well. But ultimately, I mean, I think we played, it was our go-to game for about 9 months to a year. Yeah. And that being said, it was the multiplayer fast that was the pull. That had me coming back to Dead by Daylight longer than just about any other horror game. Now, I will say, Layers of Fear, I come back and revisit it every so often. It doesn't get old to me, but I have to take a long enough break that I don't remember exactly where the jump scares are.
Right. I'm reading sales numbers or looking for sales numbers at the same time, by the way. Just didn't want you to think I'm...
No, you're fine, because Dead by Daylight, it was actually super interesting to me, in the release, it sat June 2016, it started off strong with 11,000 players on average, and as of this year, it's more than double, at 24,000 players, and it is so successful that they are considering releasing a movie. I don't know if they're going to go through with that or not. I feel like there's a lot of red tape to be had, given some of the characters and whatnot, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so from what I'm seeing is the remake for Dead Space looks to have sold through about 2 million copies in the launch window, give or take. I haven't been able to track down specifics on if that's, like, PC or across all platforms, but all the results I'm seeing seems to kind of line up with about 2 million copies, which, given that horror is already kind of a niche genre, that's pretty fucking solid, all things considered. I think that's another inherent problem, too, is that, and that this something larger that we've hit on before on the show, is that publishers aren't happy unless they have made all the money. And so they don't look at it and go, we are making a really top-end product for a niche audience that will absolutely turn up and buy and scale their sales expectations accordingly. And so if it doesn't make all the money and sell to all the people, they say, well, this was a flop. This didn't meet our expectations. And nobody turns around and looks at him and goes, your expectations are fucking idiotic. Because they are. You know who doesn't do that shit? Fucking FromSoft. FromSoft makes a niche product in a niche genre, and they do it exceptionally well. And they set their sales figures and expectations correctly, knowing the size of their player base. And they know that if they get most of the people in that player base to buy their game, they did good. They don't go and turn around and go, okay, now these people keep showing up and keep us in business, but that's not enough. We want all the players with all the money and fuck everything else. Like, the closest you could say they did to that was Elden Ring. Elden Ring had the most broad reach of any of their Soulsborne work to date. And there's probably a few things you could figure into that, and I'm trying not to go too far off the subject here. But even then, it was still... It wasn't even so much we're trying to make this with mass appeal. It just happened to be more a case of we've been doing this for so many years now that we have absolutely fine-tuned and honed our craft of what we're making to a science and an art at the same fucking time. We are ready to make a magnum opus. And they did. And that magnum opus was so fucking good that it started pulling in other people that weren't showing up before to check it out. And that's the way to fucking do this shit, even with horror. And the original Dead Space is a great case example. RE4 is definitely a great case example. You might even go so far as to say as the original Resident Evil kind of helped set that precedent, almost. But it... I'm looking at it just feeling frustrated at the idiocy of publishers and not setting expectations correctly. But that said, there's still great stuff in the horror, you know, in the horror genre to be done. But the problem is that no longer is it publishers going, if we can hit 80% of the horror gamer market, we did right. It's we need to hit 60-80% of the total market in order to, you know, justify doing it. I'm like, you're fucking doing this wrong. You're doing your numbers wrong. And that problem snowballs too when you take into account if you're trying to reach that broad of an audience, then Watch publishers spend as much on development or spend as much in development they end up spending in fucking marketing because they're trying to get at everybody, and then it's more cost that they have to recoup in order to break even or call it a success. And I'm like, you dug yourselves the wrong fucking hole here.
Well, do you think scale back your...
I was just going to say, scale back your marketing, dial it in to that sector, and stop trying to get everybody's fucking attention, because the people reaching are already paying attention and listening and looking for it. All you got to do is put it out there. They'll fucking find it and do the work for you. Knock it off.
Well, that numbers game that the developers are playing, do you think that has to do with the... There's a general just vibe of being disgruntled from what I was looking at last night, and I actually agree with it, in that no matter what the storyline is, it seems like in recent years, it's no longer in horror games, it's no longer jump scare here, jump scare there, but rather... a lot of games now, and one of the examples that I saw on Reddit was a Resident Evil 3 remake. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't played Resident Evil. I haven't played any of the games past the first one. but the example given was that in the original Resident Evil 3, there was a scene with a police station, and in the remake, this person says they're just being chased. Like, they're being chased, their goal is to get away, right? But they remember in the first one, when they played it, that they had time to the police station to find different pieces of an ongoing storyline. And seemingly, that's what's going on in a lot of the new horror games that are coming out, is that it's less story and more adrenaline, and it's just constant.
I think it has to do with the type of horror that you're playing or that you're looking for. Because, again, you know, horror is a genre. There are distinct subsects in that genre. Are you looking for psychological horror? Are you looking for, you know, gore horror? Are you looking there are different types. There's, you know, a certain type of ambient horror. You know, it's one of those things where Resident Evil moved from kind of the campy B-movie jump scare shit to more action-y horror, which is perfectly valid. It has its place, just like everything else. And I'm not discrediting it. I'm just saying it shifted, whereas things like Silent Hill, not so much. Silent Hill leaned more into the ambient to oppressive horror and the psychological horror that unraveled in front of your face as you played the game, finding out what was really going on and and learning about the character that is the town itself. And so there's different kinds. You know, Clock Tower is its own kind of horror as well. You know, that leans more into the psychological, that kind of low ambient. You know, you go back to Eternal Darkness on GameCube, which, as much as everybody says they want another Eternal Darkness or a remake, the problem is that so much, and this is part, this hooks back to something else I said, totally unintentionally, actually, but you almost can't remake Eternal Darkness today, because so much of what made it effective was a product of the time and the technology of the time played off of that doesn't exist now.
Sorry.
You know, things like, you're good. I fucking did that on somebody's live stream earlier today. I was spamming the little party button, and he was like, "What is with the E?" I'm like, "It's a party!" It was me. God bless it. He's one of my favorite people on YouTube to watch. He's got a channel called Daryl Talks Games. I'll send you a link to some of like his work that you should check. You will love it. It'd be 100% up your fucking alley. But anyways, but yeah, it, like you said, it, and that's another thing too, is that horror has evolved as technology has evolved. A really great example of this, watch through the seasons of Black Mirror and notice the thematics have changed, because when it started, it was all about the horror of the possibilities of emerging technology.
Yeah.
It's not anymore.
Oh, I noticed, and actually, unpopular opinion, but I did not like the last season. That last season that I watched, I did not like it in comparison to the, what is it, the first two seasons. I think I stopped liking it after around the time that they did that thing with Miley Cyrus. The little AI bot.
Right. Yeah. And that's totally okay, because, I mean, like you said, it changed what it was thematically playing on to generate its very specific type of horror, because what was happening in society has changed over the years as that series has gone on. And much like South Park, Black Mirror is kind of reacting to society in real time.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those weird things that I don't think that horror in games is reacting to society in real time. And so that may be and so what was effective before, and again, I think the peak example of this is Eternal Darkness here, what was effective before because of when it was is no longer. It has to evolve and it has to change. But that doesn't mean that there's not room for big budget AAA horror in the gaming space. The thing of it is right now is if you really want successful horror, like peak horror, you're looking at AA to indie stuff for that, because that's mm-hmm. the space where developers have potential for a faster turnaround, which means a faster reaction time to what's going on around, to play off of the current state of the world to better effectively generate that horror, unless you are talking something outside of present day in either a past times or present, like distant in either direction, in which case you can build your horror around your specific aesthetic vibe and what world that you've built, like what Dead Space did. So, but Resident Evil, on the other hand, like I said, it's, you know, jump scares are for the most part very played out, and it just doesn't have the same efficacy that it did 20 years ago. And so it's evolved into more action-leaning, adrenaline pump horror, where it's more about the grotesque and how many limbs you can, you know, blow off of a zombie that's lurching or, you know, screaming, running towards you, depending on which version of zombie you've got. But
see,
even then, that's another piece that most horror in gaming leans almost exclusively on zombies.
I've noticed.
Some fashion or another.
It's either zombies or it's aliens.
Yeah.
And I'm really kind of sick of that. And honestly, like, my ideal horror game would be a combo of, like, that grotesque with the psych. And, I mean, honestly, I will say the last good game that I played, I started myself off strong back in 2017 with Alien Isolation. That was the first really jump scare game that I played. I loved it. That branched me off into Soma, which Soma is good. Soma, I wouldn't classify it as a horror game, though. But I went from there to Layers of Fear, which is more of a puzzle, kind of find the pieces with jump scares. And then from there, I dabbled with Dead Space. Wasn't that type of game. It just wasn't it for me. And from there, Dead by Daylight. Yeah. I think that I would want to see less zombies, less aliens, more what Black Mirror touched on with the current day, you know, play off current day daily fears. And I think that Soma, to an extent, kind of did that at the beginning of the game. This guy, he got into a car accident, he has some head trauma, he's trying to see a doctor get fixed, right? But then it just kind of, it went downhill for me.
I think some of the best horror is the stuff that isn't exclusively horror, that has like some of the creepy vibes but has some other stuff mixed in it. If you check out Oxenfree is a fucking neat one.
Yeah, I've been meaning to. You mentioned that on another
episode. Oxenfree, I think you might dig. It's, you know, it's very story centric. It's all very dialogue heavy. There was another one in my head like 2 fucking seconds ago, and it's now popped out. But if I can think of it, I'll send it to you. I think another piece of horror, and this one is outside of games, sadly, but another piece of horror that I would highly recommend checking out is Local 58 on YouTube. And if you've never heard of it, you should absolutely fucking like watch them in release order. But know that that is not the correct order in which things are happening. The release order is out of order from the events of their universe. But it's fucking like wild, unique, lo-fi analog horror.
in like local broadcast TV public access format. It's fucking cool as shit. There's a whole underlying thing that, and I'm like, do more stuff like that. Bring me more of that in games. I like these things. You know, we get some, another great example of, it's horror, but not in the conventional sense. Stuff like Inscription, Doki Doki Literature Club. The things that end up being like fucking surprise horror in unique ways, especially when they get into like the fourth wall break. Horror, I think, is a genre that is not explored fourth wall breaking to the extent that it should have. And I think the fourth wall break stuff has probably been overdone in other genres where it's now overdone. Horror, I think, is where that kind of thing can excel. Because if you can fourth wall break and expand the magic circle that exists in a unique sense that only games can create, the magic circle. If you're not familiar with the concept, are you? I'm just curious here. Because I'm still going to explain this if anybody listening knows this concept.
Okay, go ahead and explain.
All right, so the magic circle is this concept where it's an unspoken but agreed to contract between the game and the player, where you create the magic circle and says that everything inside the magic circle is the realm of the game. And so inside the magic circle is where everything happens. Like the game is only allowed to affect anything inside the magic circle. However, a fourth wall break then potentially expands the magic circle because it reaches out from the game and breaks the fourth wall into your world in unique ways, and thus expands the magic circle, whether you're expecting it to or not. And games that did that, like I said, Doki Doki Literature Club set the bar, it really kind of set the precedent for that type of thing in terms of major mainline success with gaming. And then Inscription just took it and ran with it. Because Inscription, you start the game and the magic circle and says, cool, I'm going to play this kind of, you know, spooky looking card game thing. But then it says, yeah, you thought this was the magic circle. This is the magic circle. And then when you're like, okay, I'm with you. This is, and it says, no. See all that shit out there? That's mine too. Now this is the magic. And it keeps fucking going. And the whole thing, yeah. I won't spoil more than specifics, but the whole thing, depending on how deep you want to go with it, actually has a real world IRL alternate reality game that spans across multiple games from the same fucking developer. So it says, okay. Yeah, the magic circle is not inside the cartridge. It's not just on the screen. Your whole fucking world, welcome to my universe, bitch. I'm like, that's the whole kind of like subversive horror that works exceptionally well in it. But that kind of thing is also incredibly difficult to craft well.
Yeah.
Now, if a big budget developer could pull that off and set its expectations correctly and not be stupid with its marketing budget and just completely blow the budget in order to creating a vicious cycle. Yeah, no. AAA, big budget horror, still plenty of fucking room. Lots to be done, lots that could be done, lots that should be done. But are they going to do it? Probably not, because most of the AAA publishers are all fucking stupid and have their heads so far up their own asses trying to lick the inside of their wallets. Enjoy that image. Just imagine a giant, you know, 70-story big corporate great soulless looking building bent over in on itself trying
that wasn't the picture I got.
Trying to tongue fuck the fart box of a CEO at the top floor.
Oh, okay. I mean, I got the picture of, like, a crotchety old man, obviously rich, right? Like, think the movie The Lorax. Think the Wuxler, yeah. When he was, okay, trying to bend over backwards and his ass. That's what I got there.
Oh, that's not it. That's not wrong either, but, you know. So, I think this is maybe a good place to put a cap on this, and this is, like I said, I think this has laid some groundwork for some other things that we should definitely bring up in a broader sense in future episodes, but let's wrap this bitch up. Want to say thank you to Riker for coming and hanging out with me this week and talking about big-budget AAA horror games, and thank you to everybody that tuned in and listened. Thank you to our awesome sponsor, Imagine Authors, with fragrances for guys, gals, and non-binary pals, helping you up your scent game. Link in the show notes down below. Go check them out. Helps you, helps us, helps them. It's just good for everybody. Go do the thing. And with all that said, oh, last piece, if you have thoughts on this, we want to hear about them, and you can tell us about them by clicking the link to our Discord, also in the show notes, and coming and chatting with us about it. So make sure you do that as well, because we want to hear your fucking thoughts about this, because this is cool, and I want to talk more with this about other fucking people too. The more opinions, the better here. Always the case on this show. Other than that, you've been tuned to the World 1-1 Podcast, powered by the World 1-1 Podcast Network. Press start to engage your mind. Peace!